Monday, January 3rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofor in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, the fifth wave of the coronavirus pandemic explodes across the world, infecting the unvaccinated and vaccinated alike.
Even if you have a less of a percentage of severity, when you have multi-fold more people getting infected, the net amount is you're still going to get a lot of people that are going to be needing hospitalization.
Tensions rise in Afghanistan as the Taliban moves to enforce a rule compelling women to wear full face coverings.
This religious ministry or moral police department of the Taliban are now strictly enforcing these new rules that they have outlined.
And U.S. President Joe Biden resumes telephone diplomacy over Russian troop buildup near Ukraine. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. President Joe Biden has resumed his telephone diplomacy over the Russian troop buildup near its border with Ukraine, coordinating with Ukraine's leaders on strategy to de-escalate a crisis that Moscow says could rupture ties with Washington. Biden's call Sunday with President Vladimir Zelensky comes as the United States has made little progress in efforts to persuade Russia Vladimir Putin to ease tensions. Biden and Putin spoke for nearly an hour on Thursday. Biden later told reporters he warned Putin that his economy would pay, quote, heavy price, unquote, if Russia, which has massed some 100,000 troops near the border, makes further moves against Ukraine. The fifth wave of the coronavirus pandemic continues moving across the world, infecting the unvaccinated and vaccinated alike. The newest variant, Omicron, has already led to thousands of flight cancellations in the United States in the new year. U.S. President Joe Biden has promised to make available 500 million rapid tests as American school children return to class. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
More than 9,200 U.S. domestic and international flights were delayed or canceled on New Year's Day due to bad weather and surging cases of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. That's according to the flight tracking website FlightAware.com. By Sunday, another 2,200 flights met the same fate. Chicago's O'Hare Airport was packed. While the Omicron variant appears less likely to cause severe illness, U.S. President Joe Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, warned spiking infections threaten the entire healthcare system.
Even if you have a less of a percentage of severity, when you have multi-fold more people getting infected, the net amount is you're still going to get a lot of people that are going to be needing hospitalization. And that's the reason why we're concerned about stressing and straining the hospital system.
As school children in the U.S. return to classes this week, Fauci's message remains clear.
I plead with parents to please seriously consider vaccinating your children, wearing masks in the school setting, doing test-to-stay approaches when children get infected. I think all of those things put together, it's safe enough to get those kids back to school.
New York City's new mayor, Eric Adams, who was sworn in on Saturday, tells ABC's This Week that the nation's biggest city is ready for school to restart.
We're going to create a safe environment with testing. We're going to identify the children that are exposed. We're going to remove them from that environment. The numbers show the mere fact that a child is exposed in a classroom does not mean that an entire classroom is exposed.
Adams takes office as New York City grapples with record numbers of cases driven by the Omicron variant. Classes resume Monday there and around the country. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
The World Health Organization warns that rapid circulation of both the Omicron and Delta variants of the coronavirus is leading to a tsunami of cases, severe diseases, and surging deaths among the unvaccinated. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says while science had led to the development of COVID-19 vaccines, the global death toll from the disease keeps rising. In 2020, the World Health Organization reported 1.8 million deaths globally, a number that pales in comparison to the additional 3.5 million deaths reported in 2021. Tedros says the reason for the climb is that politics too often trumps the need to work together to defeat this pandemic.
Populism, narrow nationalism, and hoarding of health tools, including masks, therapeutics, diagnostics, and vaccines by a small number of countries undermined equity and created the ideal conditions for the emergence of new variants.
Tedros condemns the misinformation and disinformation that often is spread by a small number of people for undermining science and trust in life-saving health tools. He says these twin evils are driving vaccine hesitancy and are to blame for the disproportionately large number of unvaccinated people dying from the Delta and Omicron strains of the coronavirus. He warns the virus that causes COVID-19 will continue to evolve and threaten the health system if nations do not improve their collective response. He says it is time to rise above short-term nationalism and protect populations and economies against future variants by addressing global vaccine inequity.
Ending health inequity remains the key to ending the pandemic. As this pandemic drags on, it's possible that new variants could evade our countermeasures and become fully resistant to current vaccines or past infection, necessitating vaccine adaptations.
The WHO chief says it is time to banish the politics of populism, and self-interests are derailing the global response to the pandemic. As 2021 reaches its end, Tedros is asking everyone to make a New Year's resolution to get behind WHO's campaign to vaccinate 70% of the world's population by the middle of 2022. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Health authorities in southeastern Nigeria are worried that despite a surge in new cases of coronavirus Omicron variant, residents are refusing to wear masks and are not social distancing. Officials fear an explosion of new cases as the Christmas and New Year holiday ends. For more, I reach reporter Munachi Chuks in Owerri, Imo State.
Yeah, I've been able to move around. I actually visited some shopping malls, event centers, parks, and the recreation parks. And I saw a lot of people there without their masks on. And very few. You can count the number of people that were wearing their masks. And they were seen as outcasts, like people make jests of them. Why are you wearing masks? They can ask you that, yes, because there's nothing like COVID. Most Nigerians still don't believe that there's COVID, that COVID exists. So that's what I saw in the shopping malls and the event centers that I was able to visit.
And what about health facilities, the government health centers? What is the situation there?
It's still a celebration period. The Christmas period is over and this is the New Year season. So most of the government clinics or hospitals are closed. I think they are on break, so to say. So few people are there. Few people are there, mostly people that have been on admission. And I didn't see any center actually where they call vaccination centers. Those centers, vaccination centers, are closed as well because of the Christmas and New Year break or holiday season.
So what are the authorities saying? Because there are fears that there will be an explosion of new Omicron or coronavirus cases as the new year rolls in.
Yeah, there's this surge of COVID-19 in Nigeria, as we know, and Nigeria have entered the fourth wave of the pandemic. And it's actually ravaging the country. And the government, they will tell you that they've made provisions of people to get vaccinated. But one thing I notice here, my observation is this. I listen to radio stations, TV stations I watched, there wasn't any advert or hype or jingles on where you can get vaccinated, the vaccination centers, which a few people that I interviewed told me that they don't even know where to get their jabs. So there's not much awareness out there in this part of Nigeria, the eastern part. That's what I found out.
A few months ago, the Nigerian government destroyed more than 1 million doses of the COVID vaccine. And from what you just told us, there are those who have not received the vaccine or those who don't know where to get the vaccine. Any explanation as to why vaccines have been destroyed when there are people who don't have even their first shot?
Yes. The authorities I interviewed earlier in Abuja, they told me that those vaccines were expired. And that's the reason they gave and the reason they destroyed them. So most Nigerians are now saying that means all the vaccines that people have been taking, you know, were expired vaccines. So, and that gives others room not to take the vaccine, to give excuses that the vaccines that are being given to Nigerians were expired vaccines. But the government have come out to, you know, say that that's not true. They found out that those vaccines that they destroyed were expired. That was the reason they destroyed them, so not to give it to Nigerians. But like I said earlier on, I think there should be more awareness, especially in this part of the country. People rarely wear their masks. People rarely observe the COVID-19 protocols, things like maintaining social distancing in crowded places. There are lots of parties still ongoing at this period, and you see lots of people in these crowded places without their masks on or showing evidence that they've been vaccinated before entering into this gathering.
That's reporter Munachi Chooks speaking with me from Owerri, Imo State. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts says the federal judiciary needs to do more to make sure that judges don't take part in cases where they have financial conflicts of interest. Associated Press correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
In his annual report on the federal judiciary, Chief Justice John Roberts pointed to a Wall Street Journal series that found, in a recent eight-year period, 131 federal judges participated in hundreds of matters that involved companies in which they or their families owned shares of stock. Federal judges and Supreme Court justices are required to recuse themselves from cases where they have a personal financial interest. Roberts noted the Journal's report did not find that any of the conflicts affected the judge's actions, and that the conflicts occurred in less than 0.03% of the cases handled. But he says they are duty-bound for 100% compliance. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Tension is rising in Afghanistan as the Taliban moves to enforce its order compelling women to wear full face coverings and to be accompanied by a male relative on trips of more than 72 kilometers from their homes. Officials have also demanded that all men grow a long beard. This as a harsh winter, sanctions by Western nations, shortages of food and medicine worsen the plight of the poor. For more, I spoke with VOA's Ayaz Gar.
This new year has started in Afghanistan also, and we know it's very cold, harsh winter there. And things are still uncertain with Taliban are still grappling with financial crisis and how to deal with the unprecedented high levels of humanitarian needs for millions of Afghans who are in dire need of this assistance. The international community can really come to rescue these millions of Afghans. Depends on how the Taliban will behave in this new year, whether they really want to cooperate with the global community and respect human rights, particularly women's rights, and have some kind of an inclusive government in place so that there is cooperation from the international community to quickly and bring in this urgently needed assistance for at least 23 million Afghans who, according to the United Nations, are facing acute hunger.
Apparently, they haven't failed to convince the international community that it has changed its policies and allow needed goods and medicine to come in. What do you think the Taliban should be doing in this new year to attract Western attention?
There's a lot of expectation from the Taliban as far as the international community is concerned. But what we have seen even over the last couple of days with the starting of the new year, even today, we have come to know from different sources in the capital, Kabul, and elsewhere in Afghanistan, that this religious ministry or moral police department of the Taliban are now strictly enforcing these new rules that they have outlined for women in terms of traveling distances further than 45 miles or 72 kilometers, that they will have a close male relative accompanying women if they want to travel more than 72 kilometers. And they will have to cover their heads and wearing these headscarf or hijab if they want to travel even within the city of Kabul or other cities in cabs, because the Taliban have now instructed cab drivers not to give a ride to a woman who is not wearing hijab. So today we saw there were also videos on social media that Taliban security personnel were stopping taxi drivers and looking at their passengers if they are women, and they were then nicely trying to convince them that next time they should be giving rides only to women who are wearing hijab. And they were also, in fact, instructing the drivers to grow beard, telling them that a good Muslim, according to them, must have a long beard. And these are the restrictions. So far, we have not seen that the Taliban are using any forceful tactics. They are simply trying to do it through preaching and convincing the drivers and other citizens in Kabul that they should abide by these rules. So this is obviously not comfortable for ordinary Afghans, and they are worried. We have spoken to some people in Kabul. They're worried that maybe in the next few days, Taliban will start using force to implement these controversial rules in terms of confining or curbing women's rights. So these things are really not good for the Taliban to convince the international community to give them some kind of diplomatic recognition or engage politically with the Taliban government in Kabul. 3 million children are suffering in Afghanistan from malnutrition, and at least 1 million could die of starvation if urgent remedial measures are not taken to bring assistance to these children.
Some people say it's not all doom and gloom in Afghanistan. Some Taliban officials say that security of lives and property is much better now that they are in charge than the previous government, and that this is an achievement.
This is definitely, objectively, if you look at it, it is an achievement that in a country where we, until August 15th last year, we saw that at least 50 to 100 people were being killed and injured across Afghanistan every day. No single war-related casualty has occurred since then. And there is peace. People are freely moving across the country. So there is peace after 42 years of war in Afghanistan. We can see that peace has returned, but whether this stability will last for some time, we don't know yet. And if this humanitarian problem continues like this and there is no assistance from the international community, obviously there are fears of some serious unrest from within the population.
That's VOA's Ayaz Gaur speaking with me from Islamabad. The Central Committee of Sudanese Doctors says security forces killed two people during protests against military rule in Sudan on Sunday. In total, 56 people have been killed in protests since a coup on August 25th. The committee says the first man was in his 20s and died of injuries to the head in the capital Khartoum, while the second man died of gunshots to the chest in Omdurman. Televised images show demonstrators marching towards the presidential palace in the 12th round of major protests since the military takeover on August 25th. Lauren Anthony of Reuters reports.
Internet and mobile services appeared to be disrupted ahead of the planned protests against military rule, according to Reuters witnesses. One added that all bridges directly connecting to Khartoum were also closed. Officials could not immediately be reached for comment on Sunday. These protests come after six people died and hundreds were injured in nationwide demonstrations on Thursday. The military crackdown ended a power-sharing deal with civilian political forces. That deal, agreed back in 2019, was supposed to pave the way for a transitional government and eventually elections, following the overthrow of longtime leader Omar al-Bashir. Protests against military rule have continued even after Abdallah Hamdok was reinstated as prime minister last month. Demonstrators demand the military play no role in government during a transition to free elections. Sudan's Sovereign Council, which military chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan leads, denounced Thursday's violence on Friday. It said it had ordered authorities to take all legal and military measures to avoid a recurrence, and that nobody will go unpunished.
That's Lauren Anthony of Reuters. In other news, a Hong Kong online news site said it will cease operations in light of deteriorating press freedoms days after police raided and arrested seven people for sedition at a separate pro-democracy news outlet. Citizen News announced its decision on a Facebook post Sunday. It says it will stop updating its site on January 4th and it will be shuttered after that. The site says the deterioration of the media environment has prevented it from achieving its ideals without worry. Authorities have moved to silence dissent in the semi-autonomous city once known as the hub for vibrant media outlets. This after Beijing implemented a sweeping national security law following massive pro-democracy protests in 2019. For more on this story and other breaking news, visit our website at voanews.com. Remember to connect with us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Search for VOA Africa. You are listening to VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Afo in Washington. So Somalia's military chief is warning the armed forces against meddling in politics. His announcement comes as the standoff between Somalia's president and prime minister raises concern about violence between security forces loyal to each side. Analysts are raising concern about worsening instability in this report by Mohamed Kahiye in Mogadishu.
Brigadier General Odawar Yusuf Ragi has warned the armed forces about the national security implications of the meddling in politics. He spoke to army commanders on national television Wednesday, a day after some forces loyal to Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Roble took up positions near the presidential palace.
Ciidanka xooga dalka Soomaaliyeed wax kuma qaba kariyo gurubo iyo kooxo gaar ah inay dabada ay la galaan.
He says Somali armed forces cannot operate within groups and be part of self-interest parties that have selfish motives. We need to be united and not lose our national sense of duty that we took an oath for. Similar sentiments were raised by the commissioner of the police force, who called upon the agencies to focus on ensuring peaceful elections by maintaining law and order. Umar Abdulle is a political analyst and lecturer of international relations at Simat University. He believes words must be translated into action to avoid escalations like those in April, when opposing factions of troops clashed in the capital, Mogadishu. He says army chief's warning could prevent armed confrontations if his words are heeded. Samira Ahmed, the executive director of Mogadishu-based Hiral Institute, a security research group, says political rifts are already diverting security agencies from their offensive against the armed group Al-Shabaab.
Haddii aad maqasheen cadowga xalita waxay weerareen magaalada Balcad oo aad ugu dhow magaalada
Mogadishu. Al-Shabaab attacked Balcad town, which is very close to Mogadishu, on Wednesday. The audacious attack came after the National Army vacated the front lines due to political differences. These rifts distract the focus from the fight against Al-Shabaab. The U.S. government has urged Somali leaders to put aside their differences and focus on conducting transparent elections planned in the near future. The Bureau of African Affairs urged President Mohamed Abdullahi Mohamed, popularly known as Farmajo, and his Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Roble to end their political escalations while urging security agencies to remain neutral. Mohamed Kahiye for VOA News in Mogadishu, Somalia.
The women-only farmers market in Diyarbakir, Turkey, is a unique place. Here, women, many of them divorced or survivors of abuse, can create a new life. But Turkey's economic troubles are making their lives even more difficult. VOA's Mahmoud Bazaslan has filed this report, narrated by Bezhan Hamdad.
As Turkey's economic crisis worsens, merchants at a women-only farmers market in Diyarbakir in the southeast say rising prices are making it difficult to stay in business. This farmers market was established in 2013 in Diyarbakir's Baglar district to provide employment options for women who have been victims of violence or who have little income. It has 212 registered vendors, all of whom are women, making it Turkey's first women-only farmers market. Many now say the economic troubles are so bad it doesn't even make sense to open their counters. The value of the Turkish lira has sunk to unprecedented lows in recent months. Resulting inflation has raised the cost of food and almost everything else. The Turkish government's insistence on lowering interest rates is being blamed for the skyrocketing inflation. On December 16, another rate decrease took place. The Turkish currency fell to a new low against the U.S. dollar the next day, prompting the central bank to intervene by selling dollars. Vendors say their sales have plummeted as the value of the lira has dropped and the number of their customers has shrunk. During the economic downturn, some business organizations are asking the government to provide financial support for the women farmers market vendors. Increase to minimum wage. However, when converting to U.S. dollars amid Turkish lira's nosedive, the minimum wage earners are making less than last year. The government reiterates that they are determined to end the price fluctuation and will soon announce measures to support businesses. For Mahmoud Bazarslan in Diyarbakir, Turkey, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
NASA successfully launched its much-anticipated next-generation space telescope. Now comes weeks of nervousness for project scientists who can only hope the next step goes as planned. Again, VOA's Arash Rabasadi has the report.
NASA at long last launched the James Webb Space Telescope. Its mission is to search the cosmos for the very first stars and galaxies and possible signs of life beyond our solar system. The Space Observatory is now en route to its final destination, some 1.5 million kilometers away. Scientists have called this part of the mission 29 days of terror, as the month-long journey is beyond any distance possible for humans to fly and make repairs. Once positioned, the massive Webb Telescope will spend the next 5 months unfurling and orienting itself for the mission, which you can track at web.nasa.gov. In other news, we recently reported in this segment about NASA's Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART for short. The spacecraft's mission is to crash into an asteroid to see if one headed for Earth can be knocked off its course.
You're not gonna die, right? I'm the guy who gets to do a save in the world.
This comes straight from the plot of Hollywood movies like 1998's Armageddon with a twist. This is only a test, and DART's target poses no real threat to our planet. NASA recently released images taken from the craft some 3.2 million kilometers, just 11 light seconds, from Earth. They may not look like much, but the navigation team uses the stars to determine the craft's exact location, and this is considered a major milestone. DART will reach its target in September of 2022. Finally, the week churning away at the Solar Foods facility in Helsinki, Finland, is what developers say is a nutrient-rich protein made from thin air. It's called Solene, and it's grown in a fermentation tank from a single microbe. The process draws carbon dioxide and water from the air, with hydrogen split from the water using electricity. A recent study shows the world's food systems is driving more than a third of global greenhouse gas emissions. Without the agricultural process, Solar Foods has near zero carbon emissions and was recently selected as one of the winners of a NASA Deep Space Food Challenge. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
The James Webb Space Telescope continues its voyage to its home in space after its successful Christmas morning launch from French Guiana. Webb is heading toward what is known as the second Lagrange point, or L2, which is about 1.5 million kilometers from Earth, opposite the direction of the Sun. According to NASA, Lagrange points are areas in space where the gravity of the Sun and Earth balance the orbital motion of a satellite. As it travels through space, Webb is going through a series of steps where critical segments of the space telescope, such as its sun shield and its primary and secondary mirrors, are deployed. The JWST is expected to reach its space home toward the end of January. You can track the space telescope on the Webb Internet page at web.nasa.gov. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
They're still trying to figure out what are the specific policies from the White House.
VOA Asia, your daily digest of top Asia stories.
Beijing has especially hazardous levels of air pollution.
Blending American and Asian perspectives.
China is protecting wildlife.
Original reports and series, education, health, technology. Stories that mean something to your daily life. VOA Asia.
This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours a day at voanews.com. Until next time, I am Gene Ruoppo in Washington, wishing you a pleasant day.
the voice of America. Washington, ba-ba-ba-zip.